your studied so far? Hey, just close this door. Too much noise coming. Okay, next. God is described here as Paribhu. Not Parbhu or Prabhu, but Paribhu. It's the same word. Paribhu also means the greatest of all. No one is greater than or equal to him. Other living beings are also are described here as beggars who ask goods from the Lord. The Lord supplies the things the living entities desire. If the entities were equal to the Lord in potency, if they were omnipotent and omniscient, there would be no question of their begging from the Lord, even for so-called liberation. So those who are dependent on the Lord for liberation, and while they are begging, the begging process is going on, in their heart, what is their thought process? I want to become one. So for some time, I will respect you, I will worship you, but my whole game plan is I want to become you. Yeah. So therefore, here Prabhupada is saying that even for so-called liberation, they keep on begging. Now if you have to beg, then why not accept your position as a beggar? Ashwatthama, he had the Brahmastra. He knew how to throw, he didn't know how to take it back. So he was asked by Krishna, what exactly you want to do with this? Krishna, I want to kill you. Just see. So this mentality is basically a criminal mentality. And that's why it is so condemned. My question to you is, even a devotee identifies himself as a yachak. Do you know any bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Das Thakur or Lochan Das Thakur where the idea that the devotee is a beggar is put forward? Yes. I am a dog. What else? Ami to kangal. I am useless. I have nothing. What else? Bodo dukhi can be, anybody can be bodo dukhi. But specifically saying, I am penniless, I have nothing. How did Prabhupada sign the prayer he wrote on Jaladuta? In English. Your most insignificant beggar. So how is the beggar as Prabhupada is different from the beggar who is begging for liberation? Is begging good? Yes. No. Sometimes. Maybe. Perhaps. What is it? Think about it. Depends upon devotees, when they identify their position as beggars, what exactly is the mentality of a devotee? We'll ask the backbenchers later. Don't speak now. We'll ask others first. Yes. Wait a minute. Damodar, hey, microphone nahi hai. Speak loudly. Devotees like to exhibit their complete dependency on the Lord. Okay. Isn't this some kind of slave mentality? Doesn't it demoralize you? No? You say, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. That's why India is sabhi sudharega nahi. You have to show the world what you can do. Yes? He is saying that he knows nothing, but inside he knows that I am very big. Yes, Jagannath Prabhu.
That it is a shameful thing.
Here he is saying it's actually a relationship issue. He knows that the Lord loves me, so even if I am saying I am worthless, nobody will have any problem. Yes, Prithviraj Prabhu.
Also, the devotee knows that everybody's a slave anyway, either indirectly by Krishna's material energy or not, and so he's begging to be engaged in the service of the Lord.
Here's a philosophical issue that everybody is a beggar. Remember, there was a TV serial called Nukkad, and there was one beggar there. Somehow I remember, I didn't prepare it, swear. I just remembered right now. So somebody said, "Tum bhikari hai." He said, "Bhikari kaun nahi hai? Aajkal government bhi bheek mangta hai." He read some paper, Indian government tries to get IMF loan for $600 million. He says, government bheek mangta idhar. The government is a beggar nowadays. So what the inglorious thing is in begging? Everybody is a beggar. They are beggars, sufficient beggars. I am a simple beggar. So he is saying that everybody is a beggar. Someone who so called, some fans are not up to the mark. Oh, full corona. Okay, so this is one important point, that a devotee sees, everybody begs. Some beg with flair, with finesse, with some mantra, and they get things. But actually it's begging. What else? No, you said, yes. A devotee thinks that real dependence is complete, real independence is complete dependence on Krishna. Okay. Yes. What context you are saying? The devotees, although they are begging, still...
efforts.
Although they are beggars, they don't leave their prescribed duties. That's hypocrisy, man. You are saying you are a beggar and still thinking that I am doing on my own.
But they know the final thing will come from Krishna, whatever he wishes. But still, they have to actually show some endeavor.
What we are doing is, we are trying to understand at the root level, what is the difference between a monist or a liberation beggar's begging and a devotee's begging. That is what we are trying to understand. That is what we are trying to establish. Our acharyas should not be seen as spineless weaklings. Spineless, you know, spineless, spine, no spine. So like jelly, mollusca. Those who know biology, that's without vertebrae. There is something called no vertebrates, no backbone. Invertebrates, yeah. So they're jellyfish. There is no spine. So devotees are not like that. We are trying to establish something. What else? Wait a minute.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, a devotee knows that because he has reached to that level, he feels himself, he thinks that he is insignificant. And only by the mercy of the Lord, I can cross over.
He's very close. He feels himself, he realizes that he's insignificant. But he's also very close to the Lord. Okay?
Monists basically, they want to get powers from the Lord and then they want to become Lord. Whereas devotees, they want to come back to their original constitutional position, that is being the servant of the Lord. So begging is there, but
okay.
Monists, they want to become God, whereas devotees, they want to become servant.
Ananta Prabhu.
Difference between a monist asking liberation is like, for a rich man, suppose, he is saying that you give me your wealth so that I can become you. And the devotee is begging for service. Not, he doesn't want to become himself, but he wants to serve the Supreme Lord. That is what is he begging for.
Okay. Another distinction that on deeper level, one is asking for service, other is asking for resources. Yes, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu. Devotee, say loudly.
Devotee knows that suppose he begs for something from the Lord,
then even after getting that, he still remains a beggar. He's a beggar.
Good point. But even after getting something, he remains a beggar. When Prabhupada went to negotiate the Detroit Fisher Mansion, what did he tell the agent? We are professional beggars. So please give us his whole property free of charge. That agent, you know, jaw dropped 1 feet. Said, you talk with me first, not with the owner. And the devotees, Alfred Ford, he blushed. He said, what is my Guru Maharaj saying here? Professional beggars? So you are not ashamed of saying that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol.
Yes.
In the materialistic point of view, somebody is begging or showing dependence on someone, that is considered to be very lowest, or is considered to be, he is very fearful. But the devotees, they exhibit contradictory qualities. They show their dependence on Supreme Lord. The more they feel dependence, the more they feel low, like begging. And that much they become more bold and courageous. Example of Agasura, the coward boys, they are so much depending on Krishna. So dependent means generally it's be fearful, they are afraid to go, but at the same time they are more courageous. Humility gives more boldness and courage. Opposite qualities goes hand in hand, only in devotees' case. So they may be beggars, but they have the most opulent because they don't have any dependence on materialistic people.
Good point.
This is told by Dhanurdhara Swami Maharaj.
This is a very good point, and it brings us to the real understanding. Those who raise hands, keep your hands there, that will come to you. The understanding is, why do we call ourselves useless, worthless, kangal, dukhi, and having no qualifications? What is that? If you look at me, you will not find any good qualities. Gurudev, what is that? Yogyata vichare, kichu nahi pai, tomar karuna saar. So if you look at my qualifications, you will find none. What are the things you know? All acharyas have always shown that kind of thing. And the reason is, as he said, you get bolder when you show you are nothing. And the reason is, Krishna is supremely positive. Anyone trying to show any positive charge in him gets deflected. To get attracted to the supreme positive, the more the negative, it gets attracted. There is a charge. So when somebody says, Krishna, please help me, I am trying my best, but if there is a problem, I will come to you. He says, okay. Somebody who says, I don't want you, I am capable of doing everything myself. That also says, okay. But then somebody says, I am nothing, I am worthless, seriously, with feeling. Then Krishna runs. So, to attract Krishna, the only way is to show that you are completely negative. So a devotee, so now there are so many books outside in the market, that the main problem with people today is they don't have any self-esteem. People are like this, you know, I am down, I am out. Those who have, what is that complex? Anxiety, depression, or inferiority complex. But we shouldn't say that outside. But these rascals who are having inferiority complex, few minutes or few hours ago, they were having superiority complex. So they try with their superiority complex. When they fail, they get inferiority complex. So, the psychologists are treat those with superiority or inferiority complex the same way. They sedate them. So yeah. If you feel, I'm balwan, I can do this, I can do that, I can kill anybody, they give you a sedative. And you sleep. And who is saying, you know, I have nothing, I can't go out, I can't face people. In the West especially, they say, I can't have any girlfriend, I can't talk to women. Not that they are very shy and cultured. They had so much of bhog, that now that thing gives you the terror. So, materially speaking, begging is bad. Materially speaking, thinking yourself bad is bad. Food also is bad. But a devotee's heart is aimed at attracting Krishna. And then as you said, you want service, you said you have to, you become bold. And what was your point, Kitaraj Prabhu? Everybody is a beggar. He knows in his heart. Okay? Anybody wanted to say something? Yes. Yeah, this also is true. That monists may make a show of begging, but actually those who seek liberation, they are not... Even after being liberated, Prabhupada is saying, up to the point of liberation as conceived by an impersonalist is a myth. And begging for sense gratification has to continue eternally. That means even after liberation, he is begging continually. That's the main thing. He doesn't like it. So when we say to somebody, you are Krishna Das, something boils in them. Why Krishna Das? I told you, no, me and Krishna and Prabhu once on a railway station, there was a mad fellow and he made fun of us. Hey, Taklu, hey, Hare Krishna, hey, you are this, you are that. So Krishna and Prabhu said, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, I am bahut chanting kya, and he started making fun. Then he said, we are all Krishna Das. Ah! He became mad with anger. He was making fun and he was drunk and a bit mentally. So, but when Krishna and Prabhu told him, you are Krishna Das, he said, I am Krishna. Like, who is this Krishna? Like, we have to serve him. I am Krishna. And he started quoting Gita verses. Yo maam pashyati sarvatra sarvatram cha mai. And he took the train. And he went. That we said, no, we'll go off the next train. He and everybody says, no, the train is going like this. You all climb like this. But he climbed like this. And he was shouting, hey, Kansi, hey, you rascal, you this, you that. I could see the... The anger which comes when somebody says, you are Krishna Das. That's like the last thing people want to hear. Prabhupada gives an example. If a police inspector after some criminal, the moment he sees the police's photo, he says, oh, horrible. This fellow is after me. So that's how that horror comes when somebody is told, you are Krishna Das. Okay. We covered this liberation, begging. So real liberation... is what is real liberation from the idea that I am the Lord, Master, or whatever. When you are free of that, then you are really liberated. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur puts, when somebody is reinstituted in his position as a devotee of Krishna, he is relieved of the burden of enjoying this world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said at one lecture that once you become Krishna Das fully, you need not suffer the burden of enjoying this world. And Giriraj Maharaj said he remembered that the parties which he was having with his friends were so boring that every Saturday he had to go to a party because he was in a very influential rich friend circle. So every Friday night he would say, my God, tomorrow again that same party, same people, same drinks and everything. Because he was actually at the time becoming a devotee, you feel. If you get this feeling, you should consider yourself fortunate. Normally, it's like our hands are here, but the mind is here, looking at the objects of sense gratification. But at an elevated stage, you get the understanding that the burden of enjoying this world. So real liberation is being liberated from the idea of being an enjoyer. Next, the verse talks about being self-sufficient. Only the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. When Lord Krishna appeared on earth 5,000 years ago, he displayed his full manifestation as the personality of Godhead through his various activities. In his childhood, he killed many powerful demons such as Agasur, Bakasur, Shaktasur. Who is Shaktasur? Ujjwal Prabhu? God demon. And there was no question of his having acquired such power through any extraneous endeavor. Ravindra Prabhu writes some of his classical essays that in his university there was a poster saying, Jesus meditated, became liberated, the mercy divine. Krishna meditated, became God, the love divine. So that article says yoga mush and the jerk divine. A jerk is an idiot in American language. Yoga mush, mush means hodgepodge, mismatch of so many things. So people feel that Ram, Krishna, they were all very virtuous people. अरे उन्होंने इतना तपस्या किया तब तो भगवान बन गए ना वो. That's what people they did so much to become God. It's not easy. Especially this Mayavad is very prevalent. That अरे टाकी से घाव घितले शिवाय दगडाला देव पण येत नाही. That means वो छिन्नी पड़ने से वो पत्थर भगवान नहीं बनता तो बाकी लोग क्या बनेंगे. Unless the stone, a block of stone, unless it suffers the chisel of the sculptor, it doesn't become God. So becoming God is a very favorite thing. I remember our Bhavanand Prabhu said, he said that in the West, if anyone claims Jesus, anyone claims that he is Jesus, he is put in jail or in a lunatic asylum. If somebody says, I am Alexander, I am Napoleon, I am Hitler, people know he's a confirmed lunatic. But it says in India, these lunatics can stand on an asan and give a big lecture to 10,000 people and saying, I am God, you are all God. What has happened to India? Like in a, just a moment, in a mental asylum, this is a story which happened with one psychotherapist. So this psychotherapist went there. The man said, son, I forgive you. So he said, what's the matter, John? I am Jesus. I forgive you. So after some time, he understood that it's a really serious case. He said, you're Jesus? I told you. Sure? Yes. So he went back, brought a measuring tape. And he said, stand here. Raise your arms like this. He says, what are you doing? And then he called his assistants. They brought some wooden planks. So he would make a T here. He said, I'm not Jesus. Immediately cured. If he's Jesus, then why not we crucify you to really prove that you are Jesus? So, this is the absurdity going on. That in India, people can claim they are God and nobody questions. What's the meaning of God? You are saying something? Who? John Lennon, yeah. His own fan shot him. People always feel that, you know, like during Hitler's regime, he had a propaganda minister. And someone said, these people feel that Hitler is better than or more famous or more powerful than Jesus Christ. So that fellow wrote in the newspaper, what is this? Comparing him to Jesus Christ? Ka Hitler? Or ka ye? So at that point, this propaganda was there. So, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill without ever practicing weightlifting. I mean, Prabhupada's word exactly put in the Upanishad. He danced with the gopis without social restriction, without reproach. What does reproach mean? Reproach. Yes, punishment, scolding, or somebody trying to do, hey, why are you doing this? You can't do this. No. Although the gopis approached him with a paramount feeling of love, the relationship between the gopis and Lord Krishna was worshipped even by Lord Chaitanya, who was a strict sannyasi and a rigid follower of disciplinary regulations. So, are there any other activities of the Lord which make you understand that he is self-sufficient? He doesn't need to depend on anyone else. I'll give one example and you can start. He did not memorize the Bhagavad Gita on the previous night. Ke kal ek Gita bolna hai udhar battlefield mein. So, or he didn't have somebody with whom I'll practice. Okay, you be Arjuna, I'll be Krishna. Okay, now what do you say? Okay, I'll do that then. No. Arjuna as a dear friend, did Arjuna tell him that I'll become confused if you do something? Gadbad mat karna, siddha chupchap chala lega gaadi. No. From Krishna's point of view, it may be planned. But the fact is that it came as as naturally as it could be. Think about other experiences. Where, yes.
Brahmaji is born from the navel of Vishnu, and though Lakshmi is in front massaging, but he is not born through Lakshmi.
Yeah. So, even Brahmaji is called, see, we'll write it. These are very nice things for your preaching as far as Krishna as Swayambhu. Why is Brahmaji called Swayambhu? Why is Brahmaji called Swayambhu? Madhyanapuri Prabhu. Born from the navel, that is Padmanabh. Yeah, Bhu is to become. Swayambhu is, he was not born with the help of a mother. In that sense, Brahmaji is also accepted as a person born through his own power or merit. Of course, with the help of Krishna, no doubt. But Krishna, when he said Swayambhu, that is a real Swayambhu. You see? So, lifting Govardhan Hill without weightlifting experience. Speaking Bhagavad Gita without going to a class. Killing demons, that is strength. Thoda socho yaar, bahut baar Krishna ne kiya hai many things, yes. Long jump. Trivikram. Trivikram is triple jump. If Krama is a jump, the Trivikram is a triple jump. There's a triple jump competition also, no? Okay. Three steps. See, I'll tell you something. You are only talking of physical prowess. Talk about other things also. Okay, we'll take it here. When he pressed Kubja's toe with his right foot, then put his index finger below her chin and stretched her. What happened? She became beautiful. Where did her beauty come from? From Krishna's touch. So, all Krishna's opulences, they are actually personified, they are expansions of his lila potency. They are always around him. That is the meaning of God. He may be appearing in whatever way. So, you see fame. Krishna taking part in Bhagavad Gita, that battle becomes famous. I mean, Kurukshetra war, that battle becomes famous. Otherwise, so many wars were fought. Do you know of the Peloponnesian Wars between Persia and Rome? Say, who knows? It took place in 3 AD. Gone, history gone. Now there's nothing there, desert. Rome's war with Carthage, Hellenic Wars in Greece. You may say, kitna aisa to aaya gaya. But why is this Kurukshetra war famous? Because Krishna was there. So, whatever Krishna touches, it becomes famous. If Krishna wants, there is beauty to serve him. So there is fame, beauty. Has Krishna given powers to someone? Yes. Question? Among the various opulences which Krishna has, see if any Shastric references where these opulences where somebody was empowered with that. Yes. So it's the reverse example that when Krishna left, things went down. This fruit vendor is a poor woman. But just Krishna gave her some grains, she gave him some fruit, and her things was filled with jewels. Yes. Loudly. Renunciation. Well, well, well. His becoming a charioteer is actually considered his friendship. There is this sakharas, not exactly renunciation. Okay. No, but what I'm saying is, when Krishna comes in interaction with someone else and he gives or he shows some potency which he has acquired from Krishna. Hanumanji, what Hanumanji? Yes, yes. Yes. So in connection, so therefore, yes. So? These are some of the various things where you find that coming in contact with Krishna, Krishna's opulences are also visible. So here, self-sufficiency is now, that thing is finished. We go to the next point of this verse. The Ishopanishad, to confirm that the Lord is always pure and uncontaminated, Sri Ishopanishad describes Him as Shuddham, antiseptic, and Apapaviddham, prophylactic. The doctor either? Who's the doctor here? What is prophylactic? Give me microphone. Hey, microphone do na. Narari Prabhu.
Measures taken to prevent the onset of disease.
And what is septic?
Septic after the infection take place.
Antiseptic is what prevents infection. Yeah. And prophylactic is?
Same thing.
Same thing?
Something like that. It's antiseptic after the infection takes place.
Okay.
And prophylactic is to prevent the infection.
Okay, antiseptic is to prevent the infection. Prophylactic is after infection has taken place. Prophylactic is to prevent infection. Antiseptic is to?
After
infection has taken place, you do something. Okay. He is antiseptic in the sense that even an impure thing can become purified just by touching him. The word prophylactic refers to the power of his association. I have written it there. If you want, you can write it down. And what a beautiful way Prabhupada makes us understand this. If you read ordinary Upanishads, they are saying God is all pure, God is all pure. What do you mean God is all pure? If it is purified ghee, 100% pure ghee, it has to act on your health. If it is pure gold, it has to shine. So Krishna is pure. See the best example given here, that the devotee, even if he appears to be Sudurachar, even if a devotee becomes Sudurachar, Durachar is, Achar is activity. Durachar is bad activity. And Sudurachar is very bad activity. Apichet, even if, and not a demon, but a devotee does it, still, in the beginning, he may not be well behaved in the beginning, but he should be accepted as pure because he's on the right path. This is due to the prophylactic nature of the Lord's association. Not because of his own merit, because he's some way associated with the Lord. Then, what else he says? The Lord is also apapaviddham because sin cannot touch him. Even if he acts in a way that appears to be sinful, such actions are all good, for there is no question of his being affected by sin. Because in all circumstances he is Shuddham, most purified. He is often compared to the sun. The sun extracts moisture from many untouchable places on the earth, yet it remains pure. In fact, it purifies obnoxious things by virtue of its sterilizing powers. If the sun, which is a material object, is so powerful, we can hardly begin to imagine the purifying strength of the all-powerful Lord. So Shuddham Apapavittam is taken as, first of all, that Lord Chaitanya's praying also can be connected to Shuddham Apapavittam. That how can the strictest of all sannyasis be worshipping this Leela where an unmarried boy is dancing with married girls? Paramour love. So this is the last thing which any theologian wants to hear. So you find most of the time people, Prabhupada talks with theologians, why Krishna danced with gopis? They can't understand. Like one man, he asked, why Krishna is dancing with others' wives? Prabhupada said, our understanding is, we are all Prakriti. So the question to be researched is not, why is Krishna dancing with others' wives? Why you are dancing with Krishna's wife? This, nobody wants to hear that. It's a fact. We have all taken, not we of course, but previously we might have, or we might have been Krishna's wife and somebody must have taken us. And we might have become gladly Krishna's wife to enjoy him, not with a view to being enjoyed. As Prabhupada says, a woman marries a man to enjoy him. And if you ask him, why you married her? To enjoy her. So there is a question of actual cooperation. You promise I will serve you. Actually I want to enjoy you. Therefore there is no real cooperation or no real love. So, the sun even purifies impure liquids. Prabhupada is very polite here. In his lectures he would say urine on the street or stool. He purifies it. But when you purify something, like if there is some blood which has fallen here, you take some piece of cotton, you clean the floor, but it has gone somewhere. So what took the infection? The cotton. So if you take that cotton out and make it pure, then that container goes, that has infection. So in material concept, you can only pass on the infection from one object to another. You can't really take it away completely. You see? Like if you are in debt and somebody takes your debt, but if he also is in debt, so uska badh gaya. Somewhere it has to be neutralized. Who is the ultimate neutralizer for our sins or whatever? That is also how sometimes God is explained. So Prabhupada is saying, in a simple object like the sun, if it is so powerful, the sun doesn't get like, do you ever see the sun rays have come and you get the urine smell? Kal raat din ka jo pura purify kiya tha all over the world, now it has come through the morning sun rays. Doesn't happen like that. So this is how the Lord is all pure. Any questions about chapter 8? No? So we'll chant mantra 9. Aye, Anandai Prabhu. Yes.
Is all attractive, and you quoted Kurukshetra battle. So people ask this question, that outside of India, who knows about Kurukshetra battle? And who knows God as Krishna? They might worship, we give the example that everyone worships God by worshipping some mountain or sky like that. But as Krishna's person, who knows Krishna as a person? So how can you say that he's all attractive?
Good question. Who has the knowledge to answer this? Yes, Ujjwal Prabhu. George Harrison Prabhu writes that all are looking for Krishna, some know it, some don't. What other answers? That Krishna is attractive, Krishna is known only in India. Yes.
Village where the people all are naked, the person who is wearing kopin is considered a very opulent person. So the world is full of fools and rascals. So for them, what famous is there? Krishna's insignificant material energy is itself is attracting them so much, allure them. So just like Prabhupada told once, the person was walking, he was looking at the some women are walking by. So he was, the glance went to that lady. And Prabhupada told, it's very beautiful, isn't it? Can you imagine if this is beautiful, how would the creator would be beautiful? Similarly, people are attracted towards Krishna, as he was telling. But they are not knowing actually. So Krishna is famous.
Somebody had argued with me that a painter, he paints a very beautiful girl on a canvas. That doesn't mean he is beautiful. That fellow may be the most crooked looking fellow. And we have some painters like that. Outside. Yeah. So if you say that, oh, he has painted her so nicely, he's so beautiful. How beautiful the painter would be. How do you answer that? Yes, Kirti Raj Prabhu. Yes, you Prabhu. What is your name? Ram Prabhu.
There are many devotees, Ananda Goti. That means they know Krishna. So, for example, my father doesn't know the Sachin Tendulkar. If I go and tell some fan that my father doesn't know Sachin Tendulkar, that means not that Sachin Tendulkar is not famous. So.
Good. If you ask him, your father, does he play cricket? No. He's an old-fashioned fellow, man. So, today, we can use this. It's a good argument. Especially Prabhupada, when he was talking to hippies. In India, millions of people are Krishna conscious. Read the original 65 lecture transcripts or hear the lectures. In India, practically every Hindu gentleman is a Krishna conscious person. Every rickshawala knows it. Tangawala knows what is soul. Muslim celebrate Janmashtami. Yes, Kirti Raj Prabhu.
About how people are attracted to Krishna, that all the opulences of Krishna, they just, like Maharaj said, that when somebody's envious of somebody, that's their indirect appreciation of Krishna's energy. So, actually what they're being attracted to...
No, his specific question is, if Krishna is famous, he has to be famous all over the world. But he's not.
Millions and millions of billions and trillions of souls who are attracted to Krishna. So we are looking at a very small regime in one portion. Somebody does not like Krishna. Look on a broad sense. It's all famous.
Good point, good point. What else? Hey, wait.
Krishna is having many names. So if they are not directly attracted towards Krishna, so if they say God, still they are referring to the same person. So, and there are some Muslims, crores of Muslims are there, they are Allah. So they are also referring the same person. So like
yes,
that.
So somebody says, I don't know Krishna is God. But if you say you believe in God, what is his name? His name is Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? All great. Yes.
In this regard, there is a story. A journalist, Radhan Swami, was preaching in US college. So one Christian person approached, he said, your God is Krishna, then you are going to hell. Then the conversation went ahead. Then suddenly Maharaj asked, is your God beautiful? Then he said, yes. Is your God all powerful? He said, yes. And then first he asked, whether your God is all powerful? He said, yes, all powerful. Then he said, is he all beautiful? He said, yes. Then all beautiful means Krishna. He said, is it so? He said, yes, it is so. Then he also accepted.
Yes. Hey, ek minute. Anantai bichara bahut tamisha khada hai.
Still, if you consider that Muslims say Allah and representing same person, but still one does not believe, but still we have to consider that this world is like Absalom. If you go to some mental hospital and ask any person that who is the Prime Minister, who knows, nobody knows there. So similarly, we have to preach these mad fellows that what is the sanity, and when you come out, you know, who is the Prime Minister?
He says, like forget that. About Krishna, tell that fellow that you are a member of a mental lunatic asylum. And in a lunatic asylum, it is not expected that they all know who is the current Prime Minister of the elections. Yeah. Yes. So exactly. So read PQPA, perfect question, perfect answers. Prabhupada is talking with Bob Cohen, and he says, what if somebody wants to be an honest person? He just wants to be a hard working, honest person, enjoying his own hard work, earned money. Prabhupada says, it can't be like that. What does honesty mean? He says, honesty means enjoying your own strength and everything. He says, no. If you understand everything belongs to Krishna, then honesty is to take permission from Him for whatever things you need from Him. So you can't be a good person without keeping Krishna in the center. It's impossible. Yes, Gorgoyne Prabhu.
Regarding the same question, Krishna does not reveal everybody His supremacy, or it depends. He only reveals to a devotee. So it is natural that all of them cannot know Krishna, because every individual is on a different conditioning. Unless he wants to surrender, then only I think everybody can know Krishna is all attractive. Otherwise, he can dictate.
The confusion stems from the fact that when you say in India, Amitabh is very famous. We all know him. We all love him. We all adored him or whatever. So that means whether you like films or don't like films, you know this person. So that fame or what is it called in Sanskrit? Yash or Kirti is seen as, in today's terms, fame. But today, as I say fame, one Hollywood writer said, this fame today is 15 minutes. 15 minutes of glory. So in the current information age, when you say that somebody is world famous, that doesn't mean he actually is enjoying the glory of it. It is not that the yash potency of Krishna is actually, that Draupadi is the personation of the glory potency, right? Yash. So that doesn't mean that potency is backing him. It can be his misfortune also. Like when the World Trade Centers came, towers came down, the most widely used search word was Osama bin Laden. Now that doesn't mean that he is enjoying the glory. Ah, everybody knows my name now. No. So fame, try to find out, it's a very technical point. Fame is something which you enjoy, you relish. But today's so-called famous people, they don't relish that fame. It's a burden for them. When they don't have it, they're craving for it. When they get it, they don't want it. क्या करे यार reporter पीछा ही छोड़ते नहीं. They like to complain like that. That wherever you go, they can't sit for 5 minutes somewhere. They can't dine properly. They can't eat something. Now, if you see King Prithu entering his capital, this must be the not the fourth canto. Later. I think it's later or fourth canto. You see how intelligently Prabhupada must have guided the painter to draw that. Thousands and thousands of people are there, and big decorated gate. And skyscraper kind of palaces. And he's coming there. And I said, everybody was, they were like, overpowering love for the king who had come. Now it's not that stringent security measures and bomb squads and dog squads. And everybody sniffer dogs and everybody like, that Bill Clinton came here and all. The airport to Mandralay, the whole road was kept clean for one full day, no traffic. And he had his FBI agents who could hear even from a kilometer what somebody says. So in some hotel somebody was saying, "Isko manna chahiye." They came down on him. कि इधर से आवाज आ गया किधर से 15 मिनट्स रिकॉर्ड इन जोक आई एम सॉरी सो दे पुट इन फॉर 24 आवर्स इन इंस्पेक्ट या इट हैपेंड लाइक दैट सो द फेम इज देयर माइंड यू एट व्हाट कॉस्ट लुक एट द टेरिबल कॉस्ट लुक एट द पेन इट गिव्स इफ समबडी बिकम्स फेमस दे लाइक इट दे ऑल वॉन्ट इट लाइक मॉथ्स वॉन्ट फायर बट when it comes, they can't handle it. So that's not the fame potency of Krishna. There, like what Lord Chaitanya, what is the discussion between Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya? Who is famous? The Lord asks him. He says, one who is a devotee of Radha Krishna, his fame spreads all over the three worlds. Every day we pray to the Guru. What do we pray to Guru? Not Esa Prasada, about fame. What does it mean? Your glory is already established all over the three worlds. And Ghushuk, is it connected to Ghosh, Udghosh, that is chanting? You know something? No, Bengal is here. I think so. I'll confirm. That let your glories be established, or they are already established and already chanted. You are already famous. You, as a pure devotee, are already known everywhere. Glorifying you, correct. So, like somebody may say, we don't know who Prabhupada is. So Prabhupada used this tactic for the Mayavadis. He say, you know Swami Argadananda? And he says, who? You don't know him? He has three big mutts in Prayag and two big mutts in Haridwar. No, no, no. What is his philosophy? His philosophy? He also doesn't know. No philosophy for the master. How can the chela have some philosophy? So Prabhupada immediately discounted anybody who is not a devotee of Krishna by saying, who? I don't know him. Use it. It's very powerful. If you say, you know Asura Radnish? I know him. He's a big rascal. No, don't commit that mistake. You say, you know how famous he is? You know how Ravi Shankar is famous? So you say, who? Are then there's a posters everywhere. I hardly see them, you know. Yes, wait a minute. Yeah. So in our case, does it help you anyway? Or you're still not satisfied? Not satisfied still. Good. Dissatisfaction is a sign of intelligence. Regarding your thing, Prabhupada says that Krishna is not like a mundane painter who may be crooked like a, you know, like anything, but something of beauty may come out of him. So that shows Krishna's specialty. When he paints a flower, he even gives it fragrance. Prabhupada says, if you see a blank canvas today and tomorrow you see a nice flower, somebody has done it, right? Somebody has done it. It worked on it. So in your garden, there is no flower in the evening and morning you find a nice jasmine flower or a rose bud. Who painted it? Somebody has worked on it. And the job was done so nicely that apart from the proper color and texture, there is also fragrance. So he says, this artist is more endowed with qualities than the normal artists. Exactly. Try to understand. Prabhupada's logic is, Krishna is a reservoir of all these things. In his creation, if something is revealed, so the beautiful sunset which the disciples saw, he said, the sunset is so beautiful. So imagine how much the storehouse of this beauty must be. But in the material experience, a photographer may take a beautiful snapshot of a sunset, but he might be crooked number one. That's quite possible. Somebody might sing a song about perfume, but if you go near him, you'll have, oh! See, when he opens his mouth, I know, it's like a gutter opening up. Bad breath. That's possible. Oh, yeah. Is it clear or not clear yet? What is not based on logic? Yeah, that has to be. No, it is not. That's what I'm saying. It is not. It doesn't confirm. In fact, it is the opposite. That's okay. Yes. Speak loudly. Where is the microphone? Where is the microphone? Last 2 minutes.
About all attractiveness. Like, just like a magnet is all attractive, attracting the files. But,
yeah.
But in the, this is rusted with iron, it won't be attracted to the magnet. But doesn't mean that magnet is not all attractive. So Krishna is all attractive, but you are full ignorance. So it doesn't, because you are full of ignorance, doesn't mean that Krishna is not all attractive.
He said, so, give an example. So yeah. What happened?
So just like Puri, Prabhupada went to Western countries. The puri is actually, everyone likes it. It's a famous item.
Puri? But,
yeah. Puri. Puri Prabhupada puri. Told that my name will become a Guinness record by introducing puri in the Western world. Ajah. So, the example I'm giving is that the puri itself has a potency to attract the Westerners. They also like it, but it was because they're not knowing about that, it was not known as a famous item. When Prabhupada went and gave them the rasgullas and puris, and actually they liked it very much. Similarly, Krishna's all attracted. The proof is that the Western hippies, after hearing Krishna conscious philosophy, they are attracted. And even Michael Jackson, he told that it's very nice. Only thing is, I should be in that place. It means he liked Krishna's place and his position. So, and my thing is that Krishna is all attractive. It is true, even in a mundane sense also. But because of ignorance people have, that ignorance has to be cleared, then Krishna is still all attractive.
Okay, what happened when you said that?
So he said that, then you cannot call it all attractiveness, which means it has conditions. So Krishna's attractiveness is conditional. It's conditioned to your rust.
True. So for him the expression is, the greatest fool can ask more questions than the wisest scholar can answer. Albert Einstein said, the universe is ever expanding and unlimited. And so is human stupidity. And I am convinced about the universe. That the universe is expanding, but it may stop also. There is a doubt. But I am certain that human stupidity is ever expanding. So what do you mean that the sun is not powerful? Because I am in my den, I am in my cave. So let the sun show its power by penetrating through that rock. So the sun is not that having that power. So I have defeated the sun. It is like that. So their understanding of all attractiveness is, even though I will have all layers upon layers of conditioning, still Krishna has to penetrate that and make me attracted to him. Oh, tumhare B ka nokar nahi hai. There are two ways. You can convince him this, or as our Ananta Prabhu said, you have to convince that you are living in an asylum, Baba. So obviously you will not be famous there. In a den of criminals, the honest man is not having any fame. In a village of illiterate people, they don't know Shakespeare. That is Shakespeare's fault, that, you know, illiterate people don't know him. They may say, no, no, if Shakespeare is really good in his dramas, even an illiterate person should understand him. Like that fellow goes to a, I don't speak here. This fellow goes to a doctor and he says,
That's only I.